Really appreciate you taking some time out of your day and sitting down and looking into the Gospel of Mark with me, this gift of God that we received in Jesus Christ. And today we'll take a look at purity in a person's life. What is it that makes a person pure or what makes a person impure? I wrote this for November 5 of 2023. What Defiles a Person is the title, and we're in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, and we'll begin at verse 14 and go to verse 23. My outline, what defiles a person? Number one, listen now, all of you. Number two, don't you understand? Number three, it's what comes out of a person that pollutes. Listen, understand, and what pollutes. My introduction goes like this. Before I started trying to be the believer that stood up in front of other believers, giving my best effort to accurately communicate God's truth from the Bible, I had questions. I often wondered, why do popular Christian teachers avoid teaching a book of the Bible verse by verse? I noticed that some of the very popular Bible teachers kind of skip through sections of Scripture if they don't want to deal with it, or if they think it might damage their popularity, they just jump over it. And I thought, wonder why. Last week and today, it seems clear why some teachers avoid some of Jesus's truth. If I were given the choice, I would not ever volunteer to be the one that speaks the truth that God hates a Christmas tree in the middle of a room. It's an idol to a pagan God. That's what a Christmas tree is. We set up an idol in the middle of our room. Same way, I'd rather not have to say God hates Easter egg hunts. But it's true. It's an idol to a pagan God. And that's the truth. Today's scripture is another one of those I'd sidestep or I'd avoid if the Holy Spirit and Mark had written it down. I'd never deal with it. I chose the NIV Reader's Version of our text for today, Mark 7, 14 to 23. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him. He said, "Listen to me, everyone. Understand this. Nothing outside of you can make you unclean by going into you. It's what comes out of you that makes you unclean." Then he left the crowd and entered the house. His disciples asked him about the teaching. "Don't you understand?" Jesus asked. "Don't you see? Nothing that enters a person from the outside can make them unclean. It doesn't go into the heart. It goes into the stomach and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus was calling all foods clean. He went on to say, "What comes out of a person, that's what makes them unclean. Evil thoughts from the inside of people's hearts. So do sexual sins and stealing and murder. Adultery, greed, hate, and cheating come from the people's hearts too. So do desires that are not pure and wanting what belongs to others. And so do telling lies about others and being proud or being foolish. All those evil things come from inside a person. They make him unclean." That's the end of our text. What defiles a person? Point one, listen now, all of you. So how would you define the word all here? Jesus said, "Listen now, all of you." So if you're going to define that word all, how would you define it? Would you say that all would include us? I mean, Mark's writing this to the Gentiles, which he is, and Jesus says, "all of you," that in my mind means, oh, that's us. all of us should listen to this. A on your outline, listen now, all of you. And your two blanks are listen all. How would you define the word listen? How do you read or hear listen here? What does listen to you mean when Jesus says listen? So, do you hear what the Holy Spirit is saying? Do you read what Mark wrote? Do you understand what Jesus is saying? So the Holy Spirit is clearly speaking a truth. Do you hear what he's saying? To make it easy for us, Mark wrote it down. And then Jesus is trying to help understand. So you hear it, you read it, understand. Be on your outline. All of you take this to heart. So I gave you five blanks. All take this to heart. All take this to heart. The only thing I left out of the sentence was you. Jesus is giving them and us a clear, simple truth. It's clear and it's simple. He's saying, all of you listen. All of you take this to heart. Now, he will define that heart is where the good and the bad stuff come from. So this is what we should take to heart. Stop and think about this. In Jesus' day, the religious leaders were teaching a deception, right? Would you say yes? Yes, they were teaching a deception with all their rules and all their regulations and all the things that you had to do. Do you agree that that was a deception? Today, many religious organizations and teachers are teaching the very same deception, the very same thing. The Message translation of Mark 7, 17 and 18, when he was back home after being with the crowd, his disciples asked, "We don't get it. Put it in plain language." Jesus said, "Are you being willfully stupid? Don't you see that what you swallow can't contaminate you?" That's the end. I had to put that one in there. Are you being willfully stupid? So, see on your outline. Are you being willfully stupid? You have two blanks. Willfully stupid. Are you choosing to be stupid? To be foolish? I absolutely love how Peterson translates this. So I thought maybe it'd be good to look at Mark 7:18 in the King James Version. This is what it says. He saith unto them, "Are ye so without understanding also?" And when I cut and pasted that, my spell check did not recognize saith. And I thought, we have gone a long way in the wrong direction. I mean, growing up in the church that I grew up in, the King James Bible, I mean, that was the gold standard. And trying to understand saith and these and thous and, you know, all those things were hard for me. But in our present day spell check, there is not these King James words. They have been cut right out of our electric vocabulary. You know that? So I looked at the NIV Reader's Version. "Don't you understand?" Jesus asked. "Don't you see?" The NIV says, "Are you so dull?" he asked. I still like the Message the best. "Are you being willfully stupid?" But the NIV says, "Are you so dull?" I mean, it's just not getting in. This is a very, very big deal for you to try to understand. This is not like driving down the road and you drive by a billboard and you glance at it and you don't pay much attention. When Jesus says, all of you sit up straight, put your ears on, and listen to this, it's a very big deal. My challenge is to try my best to express this truth Jesus is teaching in a way that you will hit a home run. Okay, let's pause and check out the scoreboard of today's events. It's probably clear that I've been enjoying watching the World Series of Baseball, so that's where this illustration came from. Hope you understand baseball a little bit. We're scoring this. Who is it that hit the truth for a home run? And with them, and can you see it? So that's what we're going to score. Which one of these groups of people hit a home run on this truth Jesus is explaining? And then, can you see it? Watching the game, they say that a batter, if he's really in sync, will almost watch a fastball come down to him like it's in slow motion. And I thought, yeah, 100 mile an hour fastball in slow motion. But if they do see it, it could be a home run. And there were a lot of those in the World Series, by the way. So let's score. The Pharisees score zero. The Pharisees do not get what Jesus is saying. Let's score the Sadducees. They also score a zero. They did not understand what Jesus is saying. Let's score the disciples. Their score is also a zero. Now, your score is, and I just put a blank in my PowerPoint. So the Pharisees didn't see the truth. They didn't hit this truth. They didn't get it. Sadducees either. Disciples either. And Jesus says after them, are you so dull? Are you so willfully stupid? Is it clear to you that they all missed a fastball right down the middle of the plate? My new glasses gave me a little trouble with that one. Is it clear to you that they all missed a fastball right down the middle of the plate? The Pharisees missed it. The Sadducees missed it. The disciples missed it. There was a beautiful fastball right down the middle of the plate, and they just watched it go right on by. The truth is, how they scored is irrelevant. What is eternally relevant is, did you hit a home run here? How those guys did back then, it's nice to, you know, read it and get the story, but that's not really important. What's important, did you see that fastball? Did you hit a home run? In my introduction, I wrote there was something I would sidestep or rather not do in this passage. At that time, all the religious teachers were teaching a deception. What is hard and sad for me is this. Many people are teaching the same deception with efficiency today. So the Pharisees were teaching a deception, and many Christian teachers are teaching the same thing. The deception is you can do enough things right to get to God. That's the deception. If you do these things right, then you'll get close to God. It's a deception. Like many of God's truths, Jesus is teaching it so simple, people just don't get it. Mark 7:15 in the King James Version. There is nothing from without a man that entered him can defile him. Nothing. That's what the King James said. Let's look at the NIV Reader's Version. Nothing outside of you can make you unclean by going into you. Nothing. The NIV, nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Nothing. Do you see it? Do you see what Jesus is saying? Nothing outside a person can defile them. In plain language, there is nothing you can eat. Nothing you can see, nothing you can hear that can defile you. So stop and think about that. There's nothing you can eat that'll defile you. Nothing you can see. Nothing you can listen to. None of that can defile you. Now put that in context with a number of Christian teachers that you've heard, and you probably will find a conflict inside you, because they have probably repeatedly told you, don't look, be careful, don't listen to, you know, when I was a teenager and wasn't born again, you know, rock and roll was a lot of fun. And in the churches, there was a lot of conflict. Oh, don't listen to that rock and roll music. It's from the devil. It'll defile you. Well, you probably heard stuff like that. But Jesus is saying nothing you can listen to. Nothing you can eat. Nothing you can see. None of that can defile you. There's no place you can go that will defile you. Nothing you hear, no place, no person can make you unclean. There's no place you can go that will defile you. No place. There's nothing. No place you walk into that can defile you. There's no person that can do that. No person can make you unclean. Think about that. Here it is. Life is not controlled by external forces. Life control comes from the internal. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to communicate. Life is not controlled by external forces. Life control comes from the internal. So all these things that are around us cannot control us. None of these external things can control us. None of it. What controls us comes from inside, from the internal. For years, I taught a message, external, internal, and it was the external deception and the internal truth. And that's what I'm trying to explain to you here. The external stuff of religion is a deception. The internal life of Christ, that's the truth. So our outline, what defiles a person? Number one, listen now, all of you. So did you listen? Did all of you listen? Number two, don't you understand? How would you answer Jesus' question? Do you understand? The Pharisees didn't, Sadducees didn't, disciples didn't. Disciples had it, you know, cool. They could go inside and ask Jesus about it, but they didn't understand. A on your outline, what you swallow cannot contaminate you, and your blank is swallow. What you see can't contaminate you. What you hear can't contaminate you. None of these external things can contaminate you. The Message translation of Mark 7:19. It doesn't enter your heart, but your stomach works its way through the intestines and is finally flushed. That's the end. Peterson uses the word flushed. Like it. B on your outline. It doesn't enter your heart, but your stomach. So I gave you three blanks. Enter, heart, stomach. So none of these things get into the heart. It's the stomach that this food gets to. Then it works its way out of us, and you know that process. The truth is, in this country, you can eat anything you want and as much as you want. That's the truth. In the United States of America, you can eat anything you want. If you can think of it, you can get it. No, that's not common on earth today. Most of the population on the earth cannot do that. We have the news highlighting for us that the people in Gaza don't have food and water. And, you know, that's really tragic. And, you know, there's a million of them or two. But in India, there's three times that many people who every day don't have food and clean water. And we don't highlight that. But the truth is, where we live and what we get to do is not the norm. It's abnormal what we Americans get to do. My point is, you can do whatever your flesh desires. So your flesh desires, let's say, lobster. You can just drive to Red Lobster, and they're having Lobster Fest right now, and so you can get lobster. Or let's say you want Mahi Mahi from Hawaii. You can just drive a few miles into Chicago and get fresh Maui, prepared any way you want. Anything you're hungry for, anything your flesh desires, you can get to eat. Now, take that not just with food, but with the internet and our smartphones and tablets and that so forth. Anything your flesh wants to look at and understand, you can get it. Anything your flesh desires, Google can get for you. You want to see this? Just ask Google. You want to hear that? Just ask Siri. She'll get it for you. So you can eat anything you want. You can find and understand and study and look at anything your flesh desires in the United States of America. My point of this message is God inside changes those desires. That's my point. Life comes from the inside. That's the truth. That's my point. And when God comes inside, His Holy Spirit changes the desires of your flesh. If you say you have the Holy Spirit of God within you, but from the inside out, you are not wanting to change, then something's amiss. Because from the inside, the Holy Spirit should be leading, guiding, directing, encouraging, challenging, confronting you about what's going on. But it's not, you won't hear it on the outside. You won't hear an audible voice. It'll be from the inside out is where you'll get this. And God inside you will change your desires. The life of sinful flesh is controlled by outside forces. The life of the Spirit is controlled by inside forces. So an unbeliever functions after his flesh and really has no other choice. And all these outside things, if you are an unbeliever and you have a dead spirit within you, all those things on the outside do control you. That's a fact, Jack. But when the Holy Spirit of God comes in, that changes everything. It just doesn't add a nice little merit badge to the outside. From the inside out, it changes everything. So my outline, what defiles a person? We looked at, listen now, all of you, and I hope you are listening. We looked at, don't you understand, point number two. Now here's number three. It's what comes out of a person that pollutes. A few weeks back, we took some time to consider the truth that God is concerned with one's heart, one's inside. As we've been working through the deceptions of these Pharisees, we took some time and talked about, studied, it's the heart. It's the inside. That's the truth. It seems like a good idea to try to define the word heart used here. It seems like that's a good idea. And it's not what's pumping blood through you right now. Right now, you have a heart that's pumping blood through you. If it's not pumping blood through you, you're not listening to me because you're dead. That's not what we're talking about. Not the thing that pumps blood. That's not it. In our time, we would use the word soul. Soul is what we would use. We wouldn't use the word heart like they did. We would use the word soul. And one's soul is made up of mind, will, and emotions. That's what your soul consists of. And when God begins life in you, inside of your mother, he gave you a unique soul, a unique mind, a unique system of choices, and your own unique emotions. And you're unlike anybody else that has been or ever will be. Your soul is different because of the way God made it. So your mind, will, and emotions, what you think, what you choose, and then what you feel. Our thoughts are internal, right? If you're listening to this and you're thinking about it, that's inside you. Our decision-making, that's internal. What we're deciding to do with our day, that's internal. And our emotions begin deep inside us. So your emotions come from the inside. Your decision-making also from internal. And our thoughts are internal. All of those things, mind, will, and emotions, are internal things. Hey, in your outline, Jesus said it's what comes out of the person that pollutes. And I gave you three blanks. Comes, out, pollutes. So A, Jesus said what comes out of a person pollutes. And it's what comes out. What you choose with your free will is what pollutes your life. There it is. Like Adam and Eve, you can choose anything you want. You can even choose something that'll kill you, like they did. Or you can choose life. But you have a free will. Be on your outline. It was from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. So be on your outline. It is from within, within's your first blank, out of a person's heart is your second blank, that evil thoughts come. And that's in red letters on my PowerPoint, because Jesus actually said that. Within your heart, within your soul, within your mind, will, and emotions, that's where the evil things come from. It's when one decides to express those evil thoughts. So let's face it. Every single solitary one of us has evil thoughts. You can't avoid it. You do have evil thoughts. And when we run through the Rolodex of what that looks like, if you deny that you have any of those, you're just a liar. That's all it is. Because all of us have these things inside us. So, sexual immorality is the first one on the list. My PowerPoint has a little check. Sexual immorality. And you may say, oh, well, I've never done that. And I'm going to say, oh, okay. Have you ever seen something that you wished you could have sexual immorality with him or her? If you have, then you got to check that one. Because it's the truth. Lust is the next one. Could you check that? You lust. It may not be for sexual things, but it's 8:45 and I got up at 3:00 in the morning. So I'm thinking about breakfast. When I get done with this, I'm gonna have breakfast. And it's close to lusting after breakfast. Looking forward to it. Excited about it. Next one, theft. Check that. Now you may say, oh, well, I never robbed a bank. Oh, that's cool. That's great. Have you ever brought home from work something that belonged to work? When we worked at the steel mill and I wasn't a believer, we had government projects and we would make things or do things that work and then bring it home. We'd steal from Northwestern Steel and Wire. How about murder? Have you ever murdered? And you don't really have to do it. All you have to do is say you'd like to murder that person. That's it. Greed. There's a nasty one. Have you ever thought you might possibly be greedy? Here's the litmus test. If you are not absolutely, completely, totally, 100% content with what you have, then you're greedy. If you want more than what God has given you, that's greed. And if you play with that, eventually that greed will get to the point where it will destroy relationships and destroy you. Depravity. How about that? Would you ever say that you have had depravity thoughts or actions? How about obscenities? Obscenities. When I was an unbeliever, I learned how to cuss pretty well. Working at the steel mill, working construction in the United States Army, obscenities. Oh, it's just terrible. It's hard. They can't hardly have communication without swear words. And it's taken years for me to get that out of a regular practice. That I don't use any of those descriptive adjectives anymore. How about deceptive dealings? Could you check that one? You did something and you just were a little shady on that. It's not that you actually told them a lie. It's just that you didn't tell them the whole truth. I was going to sell the Magic Bus, which was a car I had for a while. And they said, well, why don't you just, you know, put it up for sale? That's why I couldn't do that, because if people said, what's wrong with that? I'd have to tell them. And after I told them all the things that's wrong with it, they wouldn't want to buy it. So I took it to the Hazelhurst auction and just left it there. And what they got is what they got. But I didn't have to lie or be deceptive about all the things that were wrong. How about carousing? Could you check that one? Carousing, out carousing around. Oftentimes we think about that in the area of people that are out in the bars and out in the strip joints and like that. But Black Friday, that's carousing. If you get excited about getting out into the crowds on Black Friday and trying to get the deals that other people are also trying to get, that's it. Mean looks. When I found that one in the message, I thought, that's really cool. Mean looks. Do you ever have that? There used to be a TV program. Tim the Tool Man had a wife, and he said, when she gives me the look, and everybody who's ever been married to a woman understands when you get the look, you know, that, uh-oh. Mean looks. Do you ever do that? How about slander? Do you ever slander someone or something? It would be incredibly difficult in our culture to talk about the political campaigns and the process of choosing our new next president without slandering somebody. All you got to do is bring up politics and somebody will probably get slandered. How about arrogance? How about arrogance? Would you say that's something you could check off? How about foolishness? I could put several checks by that one. I do foolish, simply wrong things. And, you know, it's after it's done that I say, oh, that was not such a great idea, Willie. Oh, Wilmer, why did you do that? That was foolish. I still struggle with foolish. You do things that are foolish? How about lewdness? Lewdness. I was watching Good Morning America, and two of the females that were on there were dressed in ways that were lewd. I mean, we're at 7 o'clock in the morning, and their upper body is pushed out in a way that you can't help but notice all these big bumps of skin poking out at you. I mean, that's lewd when people do that. And men as well as women in our culture will do that. How about envy? That's the last one on the list. I put a period after that. Do you ever envy what somebody else has? I was dating a lady not that long ago, and we would order things at the restaurant. And after they arrived, I would say, oh, I have plate envy because I wished I would have picked what you picked. You ever done that? Envy. That comes from the inside. That defiles you. Lewdness. Foolishness defiles you. Arrogance, slander, mean looks, carousing, deceptive dealings, all those things are what defile you. So the Message translation of Mark 7:23, all these are vomit from the heart. There is a source of your pollution, the end. So Mr. Peterson describes these things coming out of us as vomit. Kind of stark, isn't it? See you on your outline. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. So I gave you two blanks, inside, defile. All these things come from the inside of you. That's what defiles you. That's what makes you unclean. And if we're honest with God and with each other, we have evil thoughts. When I read those words, you don't have to necessarily agree with my illustrations, but when I read those words, you should be able to think of personal illustrations and just about everything on that list that you've thought of one time or another, maybe even recently and maybe repetitively. But if you're honest, it's true. We have evil thoughts. As we read and hear this quote from the Amplified Study Bible, is this the truth or is this the big deception? So I quoted this from the bottom of my study Bible. Now, is this the truth Jesus is teaching or is the authors of that teaching you a deception? Which one is it? Quote, while we are being concerned about what we put into our bodies, oh, that's good. That's a good, healthy practice. Very few people are strict about what they put into their minds through reading or watching television. Do you worry about what food you eat, but put junk food into your mind? Jesus was more concerned about mindsets and thoughts process than about food laws. Think about that. Is that the truth or is that the deception? If you worry about putting in junk food into your mind, nothing outside of you can defile you. Nothing. An evil action begins with a single thought. Allowing our minds to dwell on lust, envy, hatred, revenge will lead us to sin. So every sin always starts from the inside with a thought. And if you didn't squelch that, delete that, X that out, and you play with it for a while, it will grow into a full-blown sin. If you dwell on it long enough, you will lust, you will envy, you will be hateful, you will want revenge, you will... Do not defile yourself by focusing on evil. That's how you defile yourself. Nothing from the outside. But it's what you're choosing to focus on the inside. Okay. Was all that truth in Jesus' teaching, or was that a great deception? What do you think? Here's my conclusion. Jesus was trying then and there to help people understand that the Pharisees' way of living was not what God desires. We could probably look back a couple thousand years and say, oh, yeah, the rule keeping that they were doing, that's too much. But I'm saying if there's any of it, that's too much. You hear me? We say, oh, they went over the line with too many rules. Any rules. Doesn't have to be too many. Any. The Pharisee lifestyle and quote from my study Bible we just read are the same life pattern. The great deception is we are in control and we can control our life. That's a big fat lie. So religion will teach you if you control what you watch, what you eat, where you go, you'll be in control of your life. Well, that's a big fat lie. You're not in control. The truth is God's in control. The truth is God desires each one of us to surrender our free will to his control. That's it. Inside of you, you have a free will. And God desires that we would surrender our free will to his will. We'll be reading the Lord's Prayer in church tomorrow. Thy will be done, not my will be done. You remember that? There's one will, God's will. God wants you to surrender your free will to him. He doesn't take it away from you. He won't force you to do it. You have to surrender. Have you ever noticed in the pattern of surrender, they tell you to put your hands up, right? Put your hands up over your head so that they can see they're empty-handed. That's surrender. Oh, that could be lifting our hands towards heaven in praise. But we're not holding on to anything. We're surrendering it all. We're letting go of it all. Not holding on to anything. Let me try to illustrate this truth. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. I've been starting fires to warm places recently. One of the first days I was foolish. I put a couple big pieces of wood into the wood stove, and then I set on fire some cardboard I had in stock on top of it. After the baby shower that we had at my house, I had a lot of cardboard boxes. So I put some wood in there, and then I started burning cardboard on top of it. I kept feeding cardboard on top, and I was hoping to set the big wood on fire. I did burn up a lot of boxes, and that was good, but I had little success with getting the big logs to burn by piling cardboard on top of them. The truth is, piling paper on top of, or for our illustration, we'll use the word inside, of wood did not start a hot fire. It didn't. Putting cardboard on top didn't start a fire. Or we could say inside, you know, putting paper like that. The next day I tried this. I put paper and some small pieces of wood under, or for our illustration, inside of the wood. So underneath of the big boards, I put some smaller twiddles and kindling and paper, and the result was a fire from the inside or under the wood. It started a fire that I could not control. You can't control the fire. God desires to set a fire under us, inside us, that is out of control. That's what scares people. Oh, I'm going to be out of control. Absolutely. When you surrender to God's will, you have absolutely no control over it all. You're standing there with your hands up, hands empty. You're not grabbing the steering wheel. You're not pushing on the brake. You're not. You're just surrendered. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that you asked Mark to write this down, and that your Holy Spirit guided him through that whole process. I just pray that we would listen to what Holy Spirit, Mark, and your son had to say, and we would actually take it to heart. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't want to write this song. I don't want this pain to be my story. I don't want this desert road. Are you sure this is the plan that you have for me? Out here in the dust and clay. God, if there's a bigger picture, it's getting hard to see today. But I know that you won't leave me here. I don't know where this is going, but I know who holds my hand. It's not the path I would have chosen, but I'll follow you to the end. Lord, as long as I am breathing, I will make your glory known, even if it means I'm walking on this desert road. On this desert road. You got my attention now. I was doing the talking, but now I'm listening. This is where my hope is found. Knowing life is hard, but you're still with me. I'm not out here on my own. You are close to the brokenhearted, but you've already walked this road. And you're gonna finish what you started.